The scripture reading, we turn to two passages in scripture. First of all, Psalm 50. Then also we'll read a few verses from 1 Corinthians, chapters 3 and 4. Read first of all Psalm 50. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken, called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. The fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows under the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. To him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin our reading at verse 18, and we'll read through verse 5 of chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, and am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Thus far we read in God's inspired scriptures. The text we consider this morning is Lord's Day 42, based upon teaching of these passages we read and really all of the Word of God. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 42. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices, whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse, and waste of his gifts. What doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further, also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. This morning, beloved, we consider the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. This commandment, of course, has to do with the neighbor and his possessions. Reveals then, this commandment does, that earthly possessions are important. It's not Christian, it's certainly not Reformed, to have an attitude that spiritual things are important to us and important to God, whereas earthly things are unimportant and ought to be ignored, are not important, should not be important to ourselves, and certainly are not important to God. The reality is, they are important to God. These earthly things are. And that's indicated, proved, really, in that God gives us one commandment out of 10 that specifically addresses our relationship to the things of this earth. And God says about the things of this earth, thou shalt not steal. We'll treat this commandment, though, this morning from the point of view of the principle of stewardship. That principle is really the foundation of the eighth commandment. The principle of stewardship is the foundation of the eighth commandment. It's the positive principle behind the commandment that comes to us in its negative form, thou shalt not steal. The positive principle that stands behind that commandment and undergirds that commandment is, thou shalt be a good steward of the things that God gives to you. Catechism also identifies that this is included in the Eighth Commandment. In the last phrase of question and answer 110, answer 110 in particular, where we read that the commandment forbids also all abuse and waste of his gifts. That's the Catechism's way of putting into words the calling to stewardship. We must recognize also that the principle of stewardship extends beyond the Eighth Commandment per se. The Eighth Commandment is found in the second table of the law. The Eighth Commandment then speaks of what duties we owe to our neighbor. The principle of stewardship deals not only with what duties we owe to our neighbor, but also what duties we owe to God. And we're reminded then that this second table of the law teaches us, calls us, commands us to love the neighbor as ourselves for God's sake. Not divorced from our relationship to God is this eighth commandment, the calling to be good stewards. Let's consider this Lord's Day then under the theme, commanded to be responsible stewards. Commanded to be responsible stewards. First of all, the idea. Secondly, the calling. And thirdly, the reward. The concept of steward or stewardship comes from the master and slave society, the master and slave economy of biblical times. We're probably very well aware of that, but in biblical times there were slaves, there were masters, there were lords of estates, and these lords or masters of a large estate, a large household, would also include within this household various servants, various slaves. The lord of the estate would often single out one or several, let's for simplicity's sake speak of one this morning, one steward, one individual servant or slave to serve as his steward. He would be the man who was responsible to answer to the master, to answer to the lord of the estate with regard to all of the possessions and all of the buying and selling, all of the things that occur in the estate of the master. That basic institution in biblical times forms the background, forms the picture for us of the way it is with God and His people. The Lord of the estate is God Himself. God is Lord. That word Lord means master. Literally in Scripture, the word Lord means master. God is master of everything. All belongs to Him. All creation is His estate, if you will. His household. All are His possessions. Psalm 50 speaks of that very plainly. The Lord Himself speaks of that in the first person. Psalm 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness, all the things that populate and fill the world with abundance, the fullness also thereof belongs to God." And that, first of all, because God is God. God is God and has commanded that He stand over all things. He has, by virtue of His divinity, the authority and the right to claim all is His own. But secondly, all belongs to God because God is the Creator. God has made it. We find a dim shadow of that even in our earthly system of things, even today. If a man makes something and it belongs to him, if he makes it, then he has a right to do with it what he wants. at least as pertains to other people. If someone else makes something, and then it belongs to that person, and another man may not come along and do what he wants with that thing. It belongs to the one who made it. So also, and to a far greater degree, does the whole creation belong to God? It's His. He made it. He can do what He wants with it. It belongs to Him. Now, when God created the whole world, placed within creation, Adam and Eve as well, but Adam in particular, Adam was placed in the creation as the steward over everything. God placed Adam at the height, the pinnacle of the whole creation, and said, Adam, you have the authority to carry out your activities in this world in service to me, answerable to me, but I place you over all things. I put the world under your feet. He had the right to govern everything. He was entrusted with that by God, his master. When he fell, though, when Adam fell, he fell as God's steward also. He became an unfaithful steward. All of his Lord's estate that he used to serve, now he did not serve in that capacity faithfully any longer. In every sphere of life now, he was an unfaithful steward. In his relationship to every creature in the world, he used it now for himself rather than for his master, to the glory of God. He'd been entrusted with the right to stewardship. He'd been entrusted with all these things, and he abused his privilege. And now was unfaithful. And so he lost the right to be the steward of God, and he lost that right to be God's steward for all of fallen humanity who would come after him. And yet he maintained his place, not his position of stewardship, but he maintained his place in the Lord's estate. It's as if he stays on in the master's estate. He stays on in the master's household. He keeps his place on the master's property, but he no longer has the right anymore to be there and to use the Lord's possessions. And yet he continues on. Adam continued on using his Lord's possessions and stays on now as an illegitimate steward. All men, as coming out of Adam and inheriting from Adam that position, that state, all men by nature still are born into the Lord's property, the Lord's estate, and have a place on the Lord's estate. Some are still fallen. The reprobate are, as we described Adam. Adam was restored to proper stewardship, but the reprobate who come out of Adam as fallen, depraved sinners stay on as we described Adam was. They stay on as illegitimate users of the Lord's estate. Illegitimate stewards, so to speak, and yet having no authority, no right to serve as stewards. Some are restored to servants. These are God's elect. These are restored as stewards of the Lord's estate. Everyone has been given things or taken things from the creation, and all have to answer to God. The reprobate, the things that they have in their possession and which they look over, they receive to their own condemnation. Someday when they stand in the judgment seat or before the judgment seat of God and have to give an answer, when Christ says to them, how did you use all those things that you had in the creation, in my creation? And they have to answer, well, we used them all in the service of sin, according to our own good pleasure. And they will receive judgment also in harmony with, in accord with all that they have abused. To whom much is given, from them also much will be required. But with regard to God's elect, Christ has restored our place to be stewards. Christ has restored our right to be stewards. Christ Himself stood in this world as the great steward, the Master, the Lord. We often call Him that. Three of the most common names of Christ in the Scripture are Jesus, Christ, and then Lord. He is Master, Master of all, because He is God, and because He has been appointed to that position to be Master over all things, to be the steward of all that God has given to Him. And He was a good and faithful steward. He served properly, faithfully, perfectly. Of course, cleansing us from all of our sins as we were by nature unfaithful stewards. But then also serving properly so that He could earn for us the proper obedience, so that God could now look upon us through Christ and say, "Thou art now stewards. You are again to be placed in My creation as legitimate, rightful stewards over the things of My creation." In fact, God has given us not only a small, limited place of stewardship, but in principle, God has said, everything belongs to you as God's people, as God's elect. Certainly we don't experience that fully yet in our life. We're given a certain amount of earthly things, earthly possessions. Some are given more. Some of God's elect are given more. Some of God's elect are given less. But in principle, God says, everything is yours. And that principle will be fully realized, seen and enjoyed by us too in the new creation. That's brought out very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the passage that we read earlier. Verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." All things are yours. Speaking now, not to all men, but speaking to the church, God's elect people. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, he speaks of various servants of God, various ministers of the gospel. Paul or Apollos or Cephas. And then he broadens out significantly and he says, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, the things that are now, or things to come, the things that will be, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. There's the explanation for how all these things can belong to us. Not because we have a right to them, not because we have earned them, we have merited them, not at all. But because we are in Christ by God's appointment. And everything belongs to Christ. And Christ belongs to God, who is the Creator of all things. Therefore, according to that way, God is the ultimate Master. Christ under Him, and ourselves included in Christ, have all things put in our possession, slated to be inherited by us in that great and glorious day when our Savior returns. See, God has given us stewardship now over things in our life. In particular, the things now that we can say, these do belong to me. These I have, I can use. I can't use things on the other side of the world, but I can use the things that God has given to me now, and those things God requires of us that we be good stewards over. The gospel, for example. Stewards of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us, the Apostle Paul writes, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Ministers are placed in that position of steward. They've been handed the gospel and been made stewards. God says to them, now take what I've given to you and use it well. Use it in my service and for my glory. But that's true really of all of us. Certainly, as a Protestant Reformed congregation, in the midst of so many churches that have lost the pure, true gospel, yet God has still given it to us, entrusted us with it, and said to us, you are stewards of the truth, the gospel. Stewards also of the time that God gives to us. Each one of us has a certain amount of time that we're given. We don't know how much. Some are given little time, a few years, or less even. Some are given many years, a long life. But we all have time, and we all are the stewards of the time that God gives to us and have the responsibility to use that time to the glory of God. Again, we're stewards over the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God gives to us. Various abilities He's given to each one of us. He said, I've given you this ability, this gift, this talent, and this is really my gift, but I've given it to you and placed you as a steward over this gift and called you now to use this in my service and to my glory. And God's also given us money, finances, earthly possessions as part of His creation. He's given to each of us really a certain measure of the fullness of the creation. And He said, whether that be much or whether that be little, you are called to be a steward over that which I've given you. Remembering always that all these things belong to God. Ultimately, God has ownership of all these things that He's given to us. We forget that, don't we? It's easy to forget that. We say, this is mine. It's my house, my car, my time. The world encourages that. If you listen to their marketing or to other ways in which they speak, you hear, this is your time. This is your this, your that. Breed and promote selfishness. It's not the Word of God. The Lord and God says to us, all things are mine. I give them to you to be used in my service. That's a privilege of grace too, remember. Great privilege of grace. We remember to look at how God deals with the reprobate, then we're humbled and we're reminded what a blessed privilege of grace that God gives us to be stewards. Could have just as well, from our point of view, we deserve it, be left in our sin. And we too could be like so many others in this world, running about, taking the things of this world and consuming them upon our own lusts and using them in a reckless and wicked life of sin, the service of self, so that we will and would have to stand before God in the judgment day and hear His word of rebuke. God has not left us that way. God has taken us unto Himself through Christ and given us the position of stewardship and said, here's a measure of my creation. Now use it out of thankfulness to me as good and faithful stewards. calling then is to face that, to recognize that first of all. Not just generally, so that we say, yes, I realize I'm a steward, I realize everything belongs to God, but recognize that specifically. With regard to our home, for example, we say, that's not my home. It belongs to God. But He's given it to me as a gift of grace. And He's called me to live in it and to use it so that I can serve Him in it and serve Him as I go out into the world from my home. Each possession that I have, we recognize that with regard to each possession that we have. Each paycheck we receive. Often don't we receive it and quickly put it to use so that we can serve the needs that we have, or perhaps even unfaithfully squander some of it, waste it. But rather, we should take that paycheck and look at that paycheck and think to ourselves, this is really God's. He's entrusted it to me now so that I can use it for His kingdom. Yes, for my earthly life too, but so that in my earthly life, using this money, I can serve my God. I can provide for my family, provide for my needs, and provide for His kingdom, as I am a member of that kingdom. First calling then is to recognize it. Second calling is to be thankful. Be thankful for what God has given to us. First of all, be thankful in our own hearts so that when we do receive something, we don't say, well, of course I have that. Take it for granted. Sometimes spoiled children will behave that way. Given something new and they just take it and run off with it without ever stopping and saying, thanks to the one who gives it. But we can be that way too. All of us can be. We take what God has given to us and we say, thanks, Lord. I know this is Thine, but Thou dost give it to me as a gift of grace through Thy Son. Secondly, then we use that gift thankfully to the glory of God. If we're not using something to the glory of God, then we're not thankful for it either. Not really. Always we seek to use all things that we receive to the glory of God. 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5 has something to say about that calling to be thankful with regard to the creature, meaning the object of the creation, the earthly possession, the earthly thing that we receive from God. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. We're not ascetics, which means we don't look at the earthly creation as somehow inherently evil, earthly things as corrupting and bad in themselves. Stand on Scripture. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. But then our calling, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Good rule of thumb, good way to examine ourselves with regard to our stewardship, our receiving the things of God's creation, is to say, I should have only so many things as I can be thankful for. If there are things in my possession that I say, I can't be thankful for that, or I can only be thankful for this limited amount, beyond that it's too much. And we ought to either work more hard upon our hearts so that we are more thankful, or we ought to get rid of that which we insist we cannot be thankful for. All things that we receive, we must give thanks to God for them. calling then in the third place is also to limit ourselves to what God gives and not to steal. That's explicitly and specifically the calling of this eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Look at what someone else has and begin to let covetousness arise in your heart so that you devise various ways to take from that other person the things that rightfully belong to them or that God has given to them. Or at least that God has not given to us. Maybe they don't rightfully have it either, but it's not our place to take matters into our own hands and to steal. And that, the Catechism spells out very well, applies not only to sneaking around in the dark with a hood on our head so that no one recognizes us, breaking into places and taking things, but applies also to simply being unjust, unfair, dishonest in various business transactions or other earthly transactions. Be honest. Be upright. That's what God calls us to. And that's again the way, another way that we show thankfulness to Him for giving us anything and everything that He's given to us as a gift of grace. That applies, that calling not to steal applies not only to our own personal stealing, our own personal involvement in deception in order to gain what belongs to others, but applies also to how we view someone that is dishonest and is a thief. Psalm 50 addresses that. Verse 18. This section of Psalm 50, the last section of Psalm 50, God is speaking to the hypocrite. Really, the whole psalm speaks as God as judge, looking down upon men, in particular how they deal with the things of this world and their place in His church. And God calls men to judgment, to give an account. Here in this last part of Psalm 50, God is speaking to the hypocrite, the one who is in the church among the people of God, and claims to be a good, godly person, a member of God's covenant, and yet by various ways exposes himself as hypocritical. One of those ways is this, verse 18, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. When thou sawest a thief, and thou consentest with him. We need to examine ourselves too as regards to our life in this world or in the workplace. Do we see someone? Do we know of someone who is a thief? And we look the other way, or we wink, or we smile upon it, rather than address it properly, deal with it, expose it, even if it be lost to ourselves to do so. To be an honest child of God with regard to earthly possessions means also we have a responsibility with regard to the behavior of others around us. And then also our calling is to be faithful, generally speaking, to be faithful with regard to that which God has entrusted us with. He's entrusted us, let's be then trustworthy. So the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, again, verse 2 now. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's the one word, really, above all others. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That means that we live in such a way that we remember we must give an account. And we live in such a way that we say, I can unflinchingly stand before the throne of God and give an account, not based on my own perfection, but based ultimately upon Jesus Christ and His work for me, but also based upon the power of grace that He's given to me and out of which I walk in this world and in my life in this world in relationship to the things that are around me. I must be able someday to give an account of all the things God has entrusted to me. Apostle speaks of that too in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, when he speaks of the faithfulness required of stewards. Verse 5, he says this, "Therefore judge nothing before the time." In other words, don't leap to judgments about others. Even be careful about judging yourselves too harshly or too finally. But bear in mind that the Lord is coming. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." Someday we will stand before that judgment seat. Christ will say to us, "I gave you this and that other thing. I've given you all this. What have you done with it? Did you remember it was mine? Did you use it for the promotion of my kingdom and gospel, for the welfare of others in the church? Did you use it ultimately for my glory and not your own?" That reminds us too then that we are given these things in order to care for the neighbor, and that includes our own family. God gives us earthly possessions so that we can provide for our family and provide for the poor of God's church. That which God gives to us, I can't say, "That's simply mine alone. I don't have to take into account my children, my grandchildren. I don't have to take into account the rest of the congregation with regard to what I've been given. But with all things that I have been given them not only for myself, but also to use them for God's other saints. And I must take care with my spending. Not spend far and above what God has given to me. Must take care with my spending that I spend it on things that are appropriate, legitimate, and that I can actually use to the service of God and to the glory of His name. Must be careful that I don't get myself into so much debt that I find myself hopelessly buried under a mountain of debt, unable to get myself out. But then I become a liability to my fellow saints, to my family, in addition to myself. And I must take care that I have thought for the future. That too is part of being a good steward. Not obsessed with the future. Not filled with anxiety about the future. As far as that, Jesus says, take no thought. Be filled with no anxiety about tomorrow. God will provide. But He provides through our wise care and our wise stewardship of that which He's given to us. And so we have also in mind the future with regard to what God has entrusted us with as His stewards. Above all, trust in God. Trust in Him that He will provide for you what you need, and that what He's given, even if it be very little, is sufficient, is the perfect amount that He's eternally predestined you to have in this life and called you to be a steward of in this life. Obey your calling, beloved, remembering that for those who obey that calling by grace, by the grace of Christ, we can't do it on our own. As far as being a steward, it's with that as it is with every other calling in our life. We We turn to God. We pray, we request His grace, that He can fill us with that grace and lead us and guide us so that we can live as good stewards in this life, and then do so remembering that for those who are good stewards, those who appear at His throne in the last great day of judgment, as good stewards, faithful, for them there is a reward. There is a reward of grace. Again, not a reward that I can say, I merited, I have it coming to me. This is a payment for my good giving this service to God. It's a reward of grace, a reward I don't deserve, you don't deserve at all, but which it pleases God to give us through Christ. Ultimately, the greatest reward in that great day will be just this. Jesus Christ Himself will look at us as the judge and say, well done. Isn't that all we need? Well done, thou good and faithful servant, steward of mine. Every one of us who hear those words will say, but I don't deserve it. I wasn't good. I wasn't faithful, not like I should have been. And yet He will say, by my grace, though you were, and that which wasn't, I have covered, I've atoned for it, I've paid for it. I say to you, you are a good and faithful servant by my grace, through my salvation of you. Well done. And even as in the parable, so the Lord will speak to us. You have been faithful in a little. In the life that you lived in my creation, my first creation, now I will make you Lord over much. We will continue to be stewards, you understand? Everlastingly to be stewards in God's new creation, perfected creation, where we live with only all of God's people, where there are no reprobate, they have been banished to hell everlastingly. Where God lives, His angels abide, all His people thrive, and all His creation is full and perfect, without sin, without curse, without pain, sorrow, or any kind of suffering. Be now, He will say to us, as good and faithful stewards, now in perfection, and forever unending. Be Lord, steward, under me, but over much. That's the reward we have to look forward to. That's the reward gained for us and given to us through Christ. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the encouragement that Thou dost give to us as we dwell upon the glory of that everlasting reward which Christ our Savior has earned for us, and which is given to us according to our works, not on the basis of them, but according to our works. Give to us then faithfulness, we pray, that we may take all that Thou hast given to us and survey it all as belonging ultimately to Thee. And may we be good and faithful servants. May we be good stewards with that which Thou hast given to us, and use these things for the edification of Thy people, for the promotion of Thy kingdom and Thy cause, to the glory of Thy name. Thou art God. All is Thine. We are thy servants by thy grace, and we thank thee for it. Amen.